377.
Okay, we're beginning with the book of Micha. And the book of Micha, like its predecessors, like Hosea and Joel and Amos, the book of Micha is again a book that focuses on the warnings of the imminent danger, the destruction of the south and the destruction of the north. Micha is one of the prophets who was sent to try and get us to do tshuva, to try and avert the destruction. Micha's prophecies were primarily in the Judean territory, although he refers to the destruction of the north, the destruction of the northern 10 tribes. It's really a prophecy that's being told over to the south. The Navi Micha focuses his prophecy to the kings and the people living under the Judean rule. The Navi is rebuking Am Yisrael and encouraging them to repent so that Hashem doesn't remove the Shekhinah and so that the people aren't exiled. His prophecies will be about Yisrael and Yehuda, and some commentaries say, the way we said earlier, that he's primarily in Judean territory, and his references of the destructions of the north are really just as a warning to the south. And other commentaries say, no, his prophecy was really to both places, even though in the beginning of the prophecy, he is described as a prophet of the Judean kings. Nonetheless, being that we see his prophecy was given about the north, so that's why some commentaries say he also went to the north and gave those prophecies as well. And there were four prophets that gave their prophecies at the same time, and they were Micha, Amos, Yeshaya, and Hosea. So we learned already Hosea and Amos, and the prophet Yeshaya, Isaiah, we know. Maybe that's what we'll do next after we finish Triasa. And now we're doing the prophecy of Micha. And as usual, we'll read with the cantillation notes and then try to explain. Devar Adonai asher haya el Micha morashti bimeyotam achazi Chizkiah malchei Yehuda asher chaza al shomeron v'Yerushalayim. Devar Hashem, the word of prophecy from God, asher haya el Micha morashti, that came upon Micha from the city of Marisha, in the days of the Judean kings, Yotam, who was a tzaddik, Achaz, who was a rasha, Yechizkiah, who was a tzaddik, Malchei Yehuda, these are the Judean kings, Asher Chazal Shomeron v'Yerushalayim, that he had the following prophecies over Shomron and Jerusalem. And again, apply what we said in our introduction, the discussion about whether his prophecy is focused, is being told to the people of Shomron, or his prophecy is just a prophecy about Shomron, but being told over to the Judean kings. Now you'll notice that the prophecy here begins with the words Asher Chaza, and we have different terms for prophecy. The term that's used for prophecies that are harsh is the word chazon. Chazon means vision, but the Navi Yeshaya tells us, chazut kasha hu gadli, I've seen a difficult vision. And Chazal tell us, from here we learn that the term chazon is a reference to prophecy that is going to be harsh. So let's fasten our seatbelts and begin. Over here we find something different about his prophecy than the prophecies of Hosea and Amos. And that is that here, on the one hand, it says his prophecy was about Shomron and Jerusalem, but on the other hand, when it describes the timeline, the period in history in which he's prophesizing, it only tells us the Judean kings. And that's what led some of the commentaries to say that he only gave prophecy in Judea. But in the other prophets, in the prophecy of Hosea, in the prophecy of Amos, so the prophet begins by saying this is the prophecy of this and this prophet who prophesied in the days of, and then it lists the Judean kings and the Israeli kings as well. And here it doesn't do that. And that's what led some of the commentaries to say that his prophecies, although they were Al Shomron Birushalayim, about the capital of the north, Shomron, and the capital of the south, Jerusalem, nonetheless, they were all prophesied in front of the Judean kings in Judea in the southern territory. Pasuk Bet. שימו עמים כולם, הקשיבי ארץ ומלואה. All the tribes, listen. Every tribe is called an Am. So when the Navi says, Shim'u Amim Kulam, it's not really a turn to the nations. When he says, listen all you nations, he's really turning to all of Israel, but each tribe is like its own nation. We have many aspects in Halacha where each tribe is its own nation. We say each tribe is called a Kahal. Sometimes we have a term in Torah, Kahal, who could marry into the Kahal, who could not marry into the Kahal. If most of the Kahal is defiled, do we do a Pesach Sheni? So each tribe is like its own nation. Shimu Amim Kulam. Listen all you nations, which is really all of the people of Israel. Hakshivi Eretz Umloa. Listen earth and all that are upon it, all of God's creatures. Eretz, which land is this? Is this the land of planet Earth, or is he talking to the land of Israel? Eretz can sometimes mean one or the other. Vihi Adonai Elohim Bachem Leed Adonai Mechal Kocho. And let God be the witness that I have warned you of what's coming. Let God from his heavenly chambers look down and give testimony over what I'm warning you. כי הנה אדוני יוצא ממקומו וירד ודרך על במותי ארץ. Because God is going to reveal himself. He's going to come out of his place, so to speak. God is coming from his throne of mercy, and he's going to come down. Whenever we have the term Yerida, coming down with regard to Hashem, the Rambam explains it doesn't mean a physical coming down, but rather a revelation. A revelation where Hashem, so to speak, reveals himself to us. When we have the prophecy of Yaakov Avinu and he sees the angels going up and down the ladder, does it mean the angels were going up and down? No. It means there were the angels is a representation of the prophets. The prophets are called malachim throughout the Tanakh. The prophet goes up, he gets elevated to the point where he gets prophecy from Hashem, and then he comes down. What does it mean he comes down? He comes and talks to us. And he gives us the prophecy. That's the angels that Yaakov Avinu sees going up and down the ladder. Angels is a reference to prophets. So Hashem, when we say Hashem comes down, it's a revelation of Hashem. So to speak, Hashem is coming down spiritually. Hashem is coming to trample the high places on earth. Hashem will put down all those that have been haughty. V'namasu e'arim tachtav v'ha'amakim yitbaka'u. Shem says, the Navi says, when God comes down, so then the mountains will melt under him. And mountains is a reference often in Tanakh to the leaders, to the nobles. So Hashem says, all those that are haughty, that right now are in positions of authority, they will melt under Hashem. The ha'amakim, and the depths, which is a reference to the common folk, the rest of the people, yitbaka'u, they will be broken, they will crack, so to speak. Kadonag mipenei ha'esh. Donag is beeswax, just like beeswax melts before fire. Kemayim mugarim bimorad. And just like water that's poured down and drips its way down a hill, down a slope, so too, Hashem says, the people of Israel will be scattered among the nations. We say every day in Shmoneh Esrei, "V'lam al shinim al titikva, b'chol ha'minim me'arikret v'azedim me'ra te'aker utshaber utmager." What does it mean? Timager. Timager is this word here in the pasuk. Timager mugarim, to be put down. Timager. Kemaim mugarim b'morad, like water that drips down a slope. B'fish ha'Yaakov kol zot. This is payback. Over Yaakov is the people of Israel. All of this, kol zot, all of this is payback for Israel's rebellious ways. Uvchatot beit Yisrael, and over the sins of the house of Israel. Mifesha Yaakov. And the Navi here tells us, what is the cause for Yaakov's rebelling? Halo shomeron umi bamot Yehuda. Hello, Yerushalayim. Who is the cause? It is Shomron. Shomron is a reference over here to the leaders, the kings. And who is the one who sets up the altars for the idols? That is the Yerushalayim, the capital. Hashem says, why is it that in Judean territory we also find that there were pagans, the Jews started worshipping idols? Because the kings went in this way. The kings started setting up altars throughout Jerusalem for idol worship. The Navi Yechezkel describes that in the temple itself, Kohanim would turn their backs to the Holy of Holies and bow towards the sun. The Rambam writes that Hashem purposely made it that our Beit HaMikdash is the exact opposite of any other place, a house of worship. Most houses of worship face the east. The holy is towards the east, towards the sun rising. And by us, Hashem said, turn your backs to the sun and make the holy of holy on the west side of the temple. So that when we bow, we always turn our backs to the sun. The exact opposite. We say, the Gemara says, Hashem gets angry every day. Why does Hashem get angry every day? The Gemara says, in the first 3 hours of the day, when the kings are rolling out of bed, and they turn to the sun in the east, and they all bow down to the sun, then Hashem gets angry. He says, I made you king, I gave you everything you needed, and you wake up in the morning and you bow to the sun. There's one split second that Hashem gets angry every day. Every morning, sometime within the first 3 hours of the morning, the Gemara says. So Hashem made it the exact opposite. Then the Beit HaMikdash, we awaken early, we bow to the west, we turn our backs on the sun. What did the people do towards the end of the period of the first temple? They would come, bow to the sun, turn their backs to the Holy of Holies, and reveal themselves towards the Holy of Holies as they bow to the sun. When Yechezkel pleads with God not to destroy the temple, God says, come, let me show you something. And he shows him this vision of what's happening in the temple. And then God says, what do you want from me? Look at them, look at what they're doing in the Beit HaMikdash. And Hashem says over here, where does it all begin? Where do the sins begin? With the leaders. Umibamot Yehuda, who set up the altars for idol worship in Judean territory? Halo Yerushalayim. It is Jerusalem, it is the leaders. It's very interesting that here Yerushalayim is a reference to the capital. The word Yerushalayim, the Radak is of the opinion, he quotes it from his father in a few places in Tanakh, that Yerushalayim is not only Jerusalem. Yerushalayim, like Shiloh, is a name of a city of God. Yerushalayim, by its very definition, the Radak says there was more than one city called Yerushalayim, and there was more than one city called Shiloh. These were names that were given to cities of God. The city of God is called Yerushalayim. The city of God is called Shiloh. So here, Hashem is saying, who caused all the idol worship? Yerushalayim. But here Hashem doesn't mean Yerushalayim in its deeper sense, but rather Hashem means the capital, the king. Yeah.
He's saying that the leaders are in Judah as well as Israel, are causing the people to sin. But, I mean, I know one of the kings listed above in the times that he's prophesying was Arasha, but the other ones were good kings that didn't cause the people to sin. Like, his Hizkiyah was, like, an amazing king. He brought so many people back to Judah. So, why is it saying that?
So, I think the idea is that their predecessors brought in so much idol worship into the land that they couldn't overcome it. When Chizkiah comes after his father, Ahaz ben Yosam, and tries to remove the idol worship, he has his KGB going around checking people's houses, and the people would trick them. The Navi says it didn't work. They'd make their idol in such a way that half of it was on one side of the door. They'd have these sliding doors, two doors that would meet in the middle. And they'd put half the idol on one side and half the idol on the other side. And then when the guards would come in to check if there were idols in the home, they'd open the door. And then you couldn't tell it was an idol. It would look, they'd just see two sides of the door. When you closed the door, then the idol would come together and then they'd bow to it. And the Navi describes that Chizkiyahu, as much as he tried and as much as he did succeed on many levels, there were still a lot of jokers who were intent on making fun of him and seeing that the idol worship continued within his own camp. He had Shevna, a person within his camp who kept saying, we'll go over to the Assyrian Empire. And he had such a following that the Gemara says he had a bigger following than Chizkiyahu. Shevna, when there was the discussion, should we give Jerusalem into the hands of the Assyrian Empire or not? So Chizkiyahu had his following, and Shevna, who was a politician of the time, had his following. And Shevna's following was much bigger. And Shevna sent word to the Assyrian king saying, I will come out to you tomorrow with the masses, and we will give Jerusalem into your hand. And God made a miracle that when he left, the gates closed behind him. And he found himself outside the walls of Jerusalem with all his men inside Jerusalem. And the soldiers caught him and they brought him before the king. And the king said, "You promised me something for today." And he starts stuttering, and they murdered him. They assassinated him, very cruel death. The king said, "You're making fun of me. We made a deal. You don't bring your men." And that was his end. Shevna prepared himself a plot to be buried with the Judean kings, because he said, "I'm more powerful than Chizkiyahu. Oh, when I die, I get buried up there with David HaMelech and all the big kings." And he was. So although Chizkiyahu was a tzaddik, that's not reflective necessarily on exactly where the people were holding. Chizkiyahu would eat a small amount of bread and drink a small amount of water every day as he was fasting and davening that the destruction shouldn't come. And they'd mock him. They'd say, "What kind of king is he? That's a king's breakfast? A little bit of water and a little bit of bread? That's not the way a king should behave." They'd mock him. But Chizkiyahu succeeded on many levels. The Talmud says in his day, the youngsters from the north to the south, every kid knew the laws of Tara, which are complicated laws. He succeeded. His father, Ahaz ben Yosam, he closed down all the Jewish educational institutions. He put locks on all the shuls. The shuls was where they'd have their elementary schools. And the Gemara says he was called Ahaz because he grabbed the doors. He took away the funding of all the schools, locked their doors, and said, "No more teaching the kids about God." He said, "If I try to take on the rabbis, I won't succeed. If I try to take on the leaders, I won't succeed. The only way I could get the people to leave the way of Judaism is by dealing with the youngsters." So he went for the youngsters. And he was successful. You see that his son, Chizkiyahu, as much as he tries to bring the Jews back, he succeeds with the youngsters. He also succeeds. But the elders are still serving idols. I don't know the numbers. But the Navi is saying it all starts from the leadership. The leadership brought in idol worship to Jerusalem to begin with. Okay, we'll pause here for today.